Luke 5, 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
Thank you, Pathfinders, for that. Yes, God's amazing grace. So much that he sent his son while we were yet sinners, so that we might have eternal life. God has created us, and he wants us to be with him. And he's done everything possible to make that happen. But it's our choice. And I just pray today that we all will accept his promises and will join him in the kingdom. Welcome to everybody today on this beautiful Sabbath day. We've got a few more bodies in here to make it warmer in here today. There wasn't Sabbath school, there wasn't too many here, but we see now that we can have this warmth in our hearts, especially because of Jesus and his law and yours. And we just pray that everything has gone well this week with everybody. It's gone well with us today. My wife saw the eye doctor Thursday and making an appointment to go to Rochester to be fitted for her prosthesis. So we just praise God for that. Praise God for all that he's done for all of us so that we can be with him. We know that times are hard. Now, for everybody. Everybody's affected throughout the whole world. And we know that Jesus has to come soon. And we pray that that will happen very soon. And that we are ready. And that we will help others be ready today. So as we look at that, we know that Christ is the one that saves us through faith. And how many of you think you have lucky stars? You know that saying, you ought to thank your lucky stars. I just wonder how many today think you have lucky stars. Let us have a prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, in your presence we are this holy Sabbath morning, honoring thee, praising thy holy name, for thou art God, created us in your image, and one day soon that image will be there again, that we will be studying a plan of redemption forever and ever. As we see your amazing grace in your word, Father, we know that it extends to us today. You want each of us in the kingdom. You have done everything in your power so that we may be there. So we pray this morning that we make the right choice, that we depend on Jesus for everything. In Jesus' precious name, amen. With some of the scripture reading today, you probably can tell what I'm going to talk about today. So if you would turn to chapter 17 of Luke, and let's look at the incident of the 10 lepers, verses 11 through 19. There's a powerful object lesson there that we can learn, and it will be with us for the rest of our lives. And so if we look at verses 11 through 13, Luke 17, 11 through 13. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Ten men, all having leprosy. That's what we call it today. And leprosy means to strike down. And people with leprosy were stricken down. And it was considered to be a divine punishment for sinful acts. as we saw with Miriam, with Gehazi and King Uzziah. And today it's called Hansen's disease. We're not sure if that's the disease that they had in those days, or it was some other type of skin disease. But just a little bit about leprosy in the United States, and it is prevalent all over here, even here in the United States. There are approximately 6,500 cases in the United States, with the majority of them occurring in California, Hawaii, Florida, and New York. 90% of the people affected by the disease are immigrants from countries where leprosy is epidemic. Around 200 to 250 new cases reported each year in the United States. So they're, and the largest number, I said, was in the California and there, and also in Louisiana and Puerto Rico. There's a national Hansen's disease program in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's the only institution in the United States exclusively devoted to leprosy and to that disease. And there are public health clinics in other major cities. Leprosy can be present at any age, but in cases in patients less than 1 year of age are rare. However, up to 20% of cases occur before the age of 10. In children in the United States, leprosy occurs equally in males and females. In adults, the disease is twice as common in males as is in females. We know that when people are affected with leprosy, the infected parts of their bodies have no sense of touch. They can no longer feel any pain. I don't know if any of you know any people that are like that today that can feel no pain, but there are people out there that are immune to pain. And it is devastating to many people. You know, as children, probably most of us had to learn that lesson. Being told not to touch the hot stove or the hot heater. But, you know, our curiosity got the best of us. But take a pan on the stove with a metal handle. If you grab hold of that handle after it's been heated, you'll probably drop it. Stick your hand in cold water. You would probably see that your hand was reddened and even burned. And my oldest daughter experienced that by having a kettle explode on her, getting hot, burning water all over. So if you had leprosy and you grabbed that pan when it was hot, you would feel nothing. In biblical times, people with leprosies were outcast. They had regulations for that, for the Israelites. And they find that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. It tells all about leprosy and everything. Lepers were shunned by society. They were kept in isolation. Everywhere they went, people stayed away from them, and they had to stay away from people. They would have to shout out, unclean, unclean. Once diagnosed with that disease, a man could not hug his wife or children. They couldn't shake hands with anyone. They couldn't go to the temple to worship. And these 10 lepers formed a group because they only had each other. They probably lived outside the city someplace, all by themselves. One was a Samaritan, and the other 9 were Jews. So it does affect everybody. They stood at a distance, as I had just read. Try and imagine that. Even the people were amazed that Jesus would even have anything to do with these 10 men. But being Jesus, he didn't see them, that disease, in being unclean, but men trapped in unclean bodies with that disease. We see that in verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. This instant here is not very long. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest, who was the only one who could declare them clean. And then they could go back to their normal existence. But they couldn't do that without that. Jesus was really telling them that they were healed. They were already healed. Not that they should go and get that healing confirmed. They followed the command of Jesus. And it must have taken a great deal of faith to be able to do that just by Jesus speaking. And it was while they were going to the priest that they noticed that their leprosy was gone. They probably stopped and checked each other over to find out if they had all their leprosy was gone. They probably cried with joy. They might have even laughed, or they might have even danced. We don't know. But they were grateful that they no longer had leprosy. Same with us, when we have a sickness, we get over that sickness. We are thankful that we don't have it any longer, hoping that it never comes back. But how grateful we can feel that one day, soon, we will have no sin. We will not sin anymore. But as we read in 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16, "And one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Only one leper directed his gratitude towards the healer. Only one returned to Jesus to say thank you. And this is a lesson that we can learn from this story today. That it's right and proper to give thanks to the one who blesses us. We know that we've been blessed by God because he sent his dear son to die for each one of us. But why didn't they say thanks? We don't really know what the men were thinking. Probably several reasons why the nine didn't return. Maybe they were afraid to believe. Has that happened to any of us today? Where we are afraid to believe for whatever reason that it might be. But the evidence was clear that they might have been hesitant to believe. Something stopped them from going back to Jesus and thanking him. It probably just seemed too wonderful to be true, to be healed just like that. Many times I prayed that my wife would be healed that quick. Maybe they intended to say thank you after they went to the priest and been declared clean. And they still had to do that, even though Jesus had healed them. They still had to go and get cleared by the priest to be able to be back into society. Maybe they considered the healing to be coincidental. Jesus hadn't even touched them. He stood off afar from them, or they were afar from him. He just told them to go and see the priest. Maybe it was a coincidence that they was healed just by talking to Jesus. Maybe they even felt that they had earned that healing. After all, they're the ones that went to Jesus. They wanted to give Jesus a try to see if they couldn't get rid of this disease. They were the ones who cried out. They were the ones that acted in faith by following Christ's simple commands. And then in verses 17 through 19, "And Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. How many times have we forgotten to thank God for the blessings that He's given to us? How many times have we decided but not believed and received and not believed? How many times have we been thankful for our lucky stars rather than thanking God? Sometimes we think it's the last resort to do that. After all, we need to turn to man for everything, or at least society thinks that. Many times they might have thought that they had earned it because they worked for it. And most of the times probably we can look at that and see that we're probably not really too much different than these 9 lepers. The countless blessings that we receive, large and small, yet we take them, we enjoy them, and we never give thanks to God for them. We know that every blessing, everything that we have comes from God. Everything is a blessing. Our very existence, the clothes that we have, the houses that we have, the material things that we have, all comes from God. But how does a person cultivate a grateful heart? We all can develop an attitude of gratitude. And I have 6 pointers that comes from the Ministerial Association that helps us to be more grateful. 1, we can learn the difference between appropriate gratitude and counterfeit gratitude. Focus the gratitude on the greatness of the giver instead of the gift. True gratitude leads us to love God more for who He is rather than what He has done for us. We owe everything to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2, we can take time to list the many non-material gifts that we have received from God. Think about all the times that He's delivered us from spiritual dangers, temptations, distress, discouragement, and we didn't even know it. And we've all had these things at one time or another in our lives. Maybe this morning we're having these temptations, we're having distress, discouragement. All the times that He delivers us from the close calls and we survive. The sickness from which we've recovered. The dangers we've avoided. If we only knew. When we get to heaven, maybe we'll find out some of these things. 3, we can recognize the greatness of our sins. And no matter what our sins are, they are great. Say that they're small sins and big sins, but they're all turn out to be sin, no matter what size they are. We need to be able to practice expanding our definition of blessings, to keep adding to it every day. Make a list of our blessings that God has given to us. And we can just appreciate His greatness. 4, let often think about heaven and what it holds for us. And how many times do we take time to sit down and think about heaven? What there's there for us. We know that we don't have words to describe what God has prepared for us. But we know it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful. To lift our eyes and think what's ahead of us. Imagine the day that we're changed for eternity, ever to be in the image of God. Imagine a sinless world that we will live in. No more tears, no more sorrow present, no all wrongs are righted, our faithfulness rewarded. Eternal life is our reward to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. It's going to be wonderful to travel this earth alone. Beautiful rolling hills that are going to be there. and then each Sabbath return to the holy city to be able to be present before the throne of God. Go to the other worlds and travel there and meet the atoms of each world and the inhabitants of these worlds and find out why they did not sin. Because we know that this earth is the only planet that God created where sin has come into existence. Number five, we can make it a daily habit to realize what we have in this life, where God has been exceedingly gracious to each one of us. He's been generous. His generosity, we know that that is His grace. Look around us and see what we have. Spend time thinking of five material things that often go unnoticed. That's probably not hard for me and probably not hard for you. Look at all your possessions in a new way, as gifts from our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to balance our thanking with our asking. Richard Baxter, a Puritan, once wrote, "When men accustom themselves to have 10 words or 20 of confession and petition for one of thanksgiving, and 10 thoughts of sins and wants and troubles for one of mercy, they starve thankfulness and turn it away." Christian Directory, page 145. We know that we need to turn those things around for the mercy that God has given to each and every one of us. He could blot us out at any time, but His love is so great that He won't do that. He wants each and every one of us in the kingdom. And through His word, we can find that pathway that we need that will reach all the way to heaven. At prayer time, we should make it a point to count our blessings. Thank the one who gives those blessings to us. We should never forget the story of the 10 lepers so that we can be encouraged to express our thanks to God. God has done everything in His power that we might live. Everything in His power for us to be in this new earth made new. And I pray this morning that each one of us will meet on a sea of glass one day soon. Yes, our precious God, thank You for Your greatness. Thank You for Your love. By sending Jesus here to become our example and to become our substitute, and that we look towards His atonement for the hope in this life and the life to come, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers our sins, and that one day soon we will be able to wear the right white raiment. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Lo, I will come again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.